Listeners, welcome to the Content Callout. You've got Mark here. I'm so excited to have my guest today, Connor Curran. He's one of the co-owners of a fantastic local company where I live called Local Laundry. It's a Canadian-made clothing company, and what they're all about is building community in everything that they do. Great thing about Connor is he's also a marketing wizard, especially when it comes to sort of the buy local e-commerce slash retail strategy. Today, we talked about actionable tactics, building and engaging a community one person at a time, which on the surface doesn't really make a lot of sense because you kind of need scale to build a community. But once he gets into the discussion, I really, really enjoyed this. It was really, really good. Focusing on the right metrics, the metrics that matter, not the vanity metrics, but the metrics that matter, and then also to be uniquely yourself. Thrilled to introduce Connor to you. If you haven't already heard of him, I highly recommend that you check out their store. It is pretty fantastic. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We certainly appreciate it. Share it with your friends, family, and colleagues, and talk about it on social. Tell us what you think. Enjoy this amazing episode with Connor Curran. Connor, how are you, man?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Really excited to be here.
Stoked for you to be here, man. I'm really, really excited to get your wisdom and your insights. I've already given the listeners an introduction as to who you are and what you do. And as we start every single show, we ask our guests, and we put them in a sticky position right away. We say, give us your rapid fire tactics and strategies. And before we get into a discussion about that, one of the things that you said in that rapid fire, which I want to dwell on, we'll get to the others, listeners, just so that you know, but you said build an engaged community one person at a time. Now, scale is really important to a lot of people. So what do you mean by build an engaged community one person at a time?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we live in an interesting time, and our generation in particular, we live in a generation of now. We want everything now. You want to watch a movie? Netflix. You want something to eat? Skip the dish. You want to go somewhere? Uber. I want it now, 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 now. And so when it comes to business, when we're starting businesses, we want to get from zero to 100 now. You know, nobody wants to grow a business anymore. Everyone just wants to scale zero to 100. If I don't have 100,000 followers by the end of next week, I'm a failure. If I don't raise $50 million, I'm a failure. It's been really sexy to scale and get a bunch of best. We've lost the ability to actually grow and build a business. So my big piece of advice is like, look, be patient. Scaling up takes time. Growing a business takes time. And people ask me all the time. I mean, we have 20,000 followers on Instagram, and you know, everyone wants as many as they get. People ask me, how do you grow business? How do you have such an amazing community? How do you build that community? And what I tell them is one engaged person at a time. You know, how do you build the most perfect, amazing wall you've ever seen? It's one perfectly well-placed brick after another, right? And so for us, we're not experts at marketing. We're not experts at design, fashion. The only thing we're experts in is relationships. So we really value every single relationship in our business, whether you're a vendor, a customer, a content creator, an artist, someone we collaborate with. I want to know you. I want to know everything about you. I want to be best friends with you. And so how do you build a community? How do you grow and get these people that really love and want to support your brand? It's one engaged person at a time. Take the time. Someone orders your very first customer. Go to their house, drop off their order, write a little personalized note, say thank you so much. If someone has an issue, you make sure you solve that and not just screw off, you know, or here's your money, never talk to me again. You want to build a community, focus on building and one engaged person at a time.
I feel like this ties really well into your second one, which was focusing on the metrics that matter. Because I think we get wooed, maybe, deceived by all these metrics, maybe vanity metrics that don't necessarily mean anything.
Yeah.
Whereas really, there's only a few metrics that really count.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, absolutely. You hit the nail right on the head. I mean, just because you have 100,000 followers, and I mean, we get people reaching out to us all the time. Hey, I have 100,000 followers. Pay me a couple hundred bucks and I'll post. All the 100,000 followers will buy shirts. Numbers like how many people you follow you on your social platforms, numbers like how many revenue, none of that stuff matters. You really have to focus on the stuff like, what is the engagement? Am I driving people to the website? What is my conversion rate there? What is my average cart value? But then that's some of the e-commerce stuff, but you really have to know your metrics and focus on the numbers that matter when it comes to the financial side. This is where I kind of struggled. And my business partner, who's a finance guy, works at a bank, he knows the numbers inside out. As business owners and marketers, you have to understand those financial metrics. My favorite saying is revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, and cash is king, right? everyone wants to be $1 million company. And we would have thought when you reach $1 million in sales that you've made it, you have all this money.
And you'd be flying.
Right? But revenue doesn't matter. Profit margin, but most importantly, cash. And in a time of COVID-19, it's absolutely everything. It's the lifeblood, right? And so when this COVID-19 pandemic really hit us, 60 to 70% of our revenue was retail, right? And retail just got cut at the knees, stopped, shut down, no more talking retail. And that was really unfortunate. But for us, we're like, how do we keep the cash coming into business? So we had to figure out ways to keep cash coming through the business. So we doubled down our online store and it just keep cash coming through the business. That's your lifeblood. And a lot of people don't understand that. And I understand why people don't want to focus on it, because we get excited about clothes. We get excited about marketing. We get excited about posting on Instagram. We get excited about the fun, sexy stuff of the business. And when it comes to profit margins, conversion rate, it's like you push your glasses up. That's for the nerds. Yeah. It's not fun. That's boring. Spreadsheets, you know, it's not exciting. And so I understand sometimes it's downright scary, right? But as entrepreneurs, you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and understanding what's not fun, what you're not good at, what makes you feel uncomfortable, and going towards that. And if that's not your strong suit, find someone who is. You know, hire an accountant, hire a bookkeeper, or collaborate, find a business partner that is really good at that, which is what I've done. And it's not my strong suit. I've taught myself, I've educated myself, I know how to hold my own in that area. And that stuff, I don't get scared when I check my bank account. You know, even the numbers aren't what I want them to be. And you can't be afraid.
There's a lot of fear that exists with that, though, especially if that's not your strong suit.
100%.
And I feel that there's a lot of marketers that try to manage marketing budgets, or entrepreneurs that try to manage marketing budgets, and they think of a great idea and they just run with it and they're like, fuck it, we'll just figure it out as we go. And that's a problem.
Yeah. And that cash is really your runway, right? And just, you know, a lot of business owners, you know, we get really good at something, and marketers, well, I'm sending out invoices and I'm paying my expenses and I'm pretty sure my invoices are a little bit higher than my expenses, so I'm all good. Like, what do I got to worry about? And that's a bad trap to fall into. And if you don't have that money, you fall back on. And even sometimes it's not just cash, but maybe cash tools like lines of credit or a good credit limit on your credit card or loans, just to fall back when times are tough. That's when you get burnt, you know? So the best advice is always get money when you don't need it, because when you need it, it'll be too late. Mm-hmm. And so be best friends with your bank. Big shout out to ATB, they're our bank. They've supported us from day one, before my business partner even started working for them. They've always been there for us. And I'm best friends with everyone at ATB. Become best friends with your bank.
Yeah, I love that approach, man. One of the things that you guys are big on, and it totally makes sense based on your business, is supporting local.
100%.
And being local. And I think that as this COVID thing drags out, and we saw the effect of not having a strong local supply chain on a lot of businesses, right? I mean, they couldn't get safety supplies. There were hospitals that couldn't get medication or medical supplies. So having a strong local manufacturing-based economy is really, really critical to a lot of supply chain issues. When you talk to people about buying local, is it more than that? Is it about pride as well? Why is local important to you?
Oh, man. Great question. It's so many things. And I'll be honest, when we first started Local Owner, we didn't know the first thing about anything. I didn't know the first thing about first thing. So manufacturing, e-com, fast, didn't know any of that. We figured it out. So when we first started, I just Google searched how to make a t-shirt company, watch YouTube video. And I was getting my shirts from everywhere else where I could get them as cheap as possible, just like everyone else. I mean, our shirts come from Mexico, hats come from Bangladesh, sweaters from Pakistan. I was like, they just show up in a box. Great. Who cares? And then you start doing some research and you're like, well, what were the conditions that these things were built in? I got them for dirt cheap. What were the conditions that had to be in place along the whole entire supply chain, from a labor point of view, from an environmental point of view, in order for me to get them for so cheap? And we started doing our own research, and maybe some of the factories we've been using, maybe they're okay, but I don't know. I've never been to Bangladesh. I can't see the factories, and maybe we get some photos and maybe they're fine. But you know what? We can't just go about just continuing blindly buying up from wherever is cheapest. We have to look at, are these things being responsibly made? And I firmly believe that it's not actually up to businesses. It's up to us as consumers. Us as consumers, over the course of the last 56 years, have been trained to buy more for less and less and less. We get such a dopamine rush. Companies have tricked us into believing you feel good when you go on a shopping spree. You feel good when you find a bargain. We get this rush of dopamine. We go, yes, I saved all this money. Look at all this stuff I got. And slowly our closets just expanded. Our house is expanded. We just have all this stuff. And where for a year or two, then it's faded, it starts to rip, it's out of stock, you throw it out, you go out and buy more. And we used to make things here in this country. My wife and I were cleaning out her granny's house, and you go through this woman's house who'd been around since the 30s and the 40s, and everything in her house, from her table, her chairs, her hangers, her combs, her clothes, her boots, her socks, you name it, all made in Canada. And now you look in your average person's closet, home, everything's IKEA, everything's made in China, everything. You'd struggle to find one thing that was actually made here. So what we've essentially done is we've taken our middle class, those manufacturing people that used to, you know, there's so much pressure from young kids, go to university and get an office job, right? We've taken these manufacturing jobs, this middle class, and offshored it. China's middle class has just boomed because we've given it to them, right? We've given our middle class, and our middle class is shrinking. Now it's just, we live in a society, a growing concern of society, have and have not. So for me, it's important because not only do I want more quality garments, right, and that are going to last long. You have to buy every 2-3 years. You can have something that'll last 5-10 years that you can give to your kids or grandchildren. Imagine that. And to be able to support an entire Canadian supply chain. So supporting a diverse Canadian economy. We talk about diversification in this province and oil and gas, moving away from oil and gas. And I love the oil and gas industry, but why aren't we talking about actually making things here, right? And then you have the environmental impact. So all this stuff that we're buying from China, buying from overseas, we're putting on big ships and shipping around the world. And they go to one country for one part of the process, then get shipped to another for another part. I think the carbon footprint, and not to mention, you think these dye houses, I mean, to make clothes to dye a color, they got to go to a dye house. And there's a lot of waters and chemical that's used to make clothing. You think these places in these developing countries have the same strict environmental regulations when it comes to wastewater or using the proper economically friendly chemicals? Of course not. They just dump it out into the river. And again, I'm being pretty dramatic here, as you can tell.
But I love it. Go for it.
Once you go down this rabbit hole of where is this stuff made? You start reading the labels and what is this? You just go on this tear and you go on this journey. Holy smokes. We've dug ourselves into this hole. And look, I'm not the richest man in the world. I got a couple $100 in the bank account, but no more. I know and I understand the importance of getting more for less and making your dollars stretch because we're in a recession. We're in a tough time economically, especially in this province. But I mean, I just encourage people where they can, instead of buying the cheap t-shirt for $2, spend the extra money, make it last long. And you will find, in fact, over the lifetime value of these products, whether it's a shirt, shoes, table, chairs, the cost per use for how long you're going to have it is actually dramatically reduced. I mean, in during time of recession, you can't afford not to spend good money on high quality things.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. I think there's a big gap that exists right now, but there's also a trend going towards local as well.
Big time.
Right? Like, it's not like there's a lot of people that have realized what you've realized and have decided, can't do this anymore. I can't keep buying my clothes and having no idea where they're produced. I don't know what the labor standards are. I don't know what the environmental standards are. And so I have no idea whether or not what I'm buying is actually in line with my values.
Right.
Whereas when I see something like yours that says made in Canada and I know your story, I can say, I know the guys that make that stuff. And that's why I'm buying it, because I know where it's produced. I know how it's produced. They tell me very clearly how it's produced. And that, for a lot of companies, has been a really big boon to their marketing as well, to say made in Canada. How's that helped you guys?
Man, it's been the greatest decision we ever made, because it was a tough decision. When you go made in Canada, all of a sudden your costs go through the roof. So you got to put your price up. And I mean, we were selling sweaters for like $60. And when we did the calculations, like, man, we got to sell our sweaters for like $80, $90. And it was terrifying. People are like, Connor, you're an idiot. No one cares about made in Canada. Or if they do, they don't care that much to spend 20, 30, 40% more on one of your garments. And we were terrified. But, you know, deep down in our hearts, this was about 2 years ago, we knew that it was the right thing to do, right? We knew that this was the right thing to do, that we can't just keep buying our clothing on wherever it was cheapest to produce. So we flipped the switch, right? And it was awkward. It was clunky. It wasn't fair to a lot of our retailers. We just had all this stuff that we didn't want to promote and push anymore. We switched to Canadian made. And then to our surprise, customers, they came in droves. They were like, finally, thank you. This is amazing. And yes, there were some complaints about price, but then it became a point of education. Well, let's educate people. I love when a customer says, your stuff is so expensive. Why would I ever pay that much? I'll say, I'll tell you why. Because every step of the way, this stuff is dyed, knitted, milled, cut, sewn, shipped, all in Canada, all by Canadian workers getting paid a a living wage, getting benefits, working in a safe environment. Everything is here to strict Canadian laws. And then they're going back home. They're spending their money in their local economy. I said, every step of the way, there's so many people that hands have touched this garment and they're all treated fair. They're paid what they deserve to be paid. There's a lot of process. So I love it when someone says, how come it's so expensive? I love diving deep into our costs. And like I said, it's not for everyone. If someone can't afford to buy one of our sweaters today, I hope they can save up. And there's lots of different alternatives out there. And I also want to preface it like this. I'm not an expert. I'm not an economist. I haven't been manufacturing for years and years. I'm just a guy that Google searched how to make a t-shirt company, watch a YouTube video, and started to do my own research on the process. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. Don't believe me. Do your own research. And I just encourage people to check your labels to fully understand all these great brands that people love. Read the labels and where do they come from? That's all I ask, right?
What do you say to people that are like, look, Connor, I hear you, man. Like, it's something that we should do. We should buy more local. But I'm just one person, man. I'm just one company. I'm not going to be able to make a change.
Yeah, I love that. Especially if it's one person. I say, well, if you don't, who will? And if we don't, who will? And that's why I love to say it's up to the consumer. None of this stuff will ever change until consumer behavior changes. Every time you buy something, you are voting with your wallet. I want to go to Starbucks. I want to go to Tim Hortons, or I want to go to a local coffee shop. I want to drink craft beer. You're voting with your wallet saying, this is what I believe in. And the reason I love clothing, I think the reason I was subconsciously drawn to clothing, again, not a fashionista. I had to have my sisters and my mom dress me until I was about 21. I didn't know the first thing about manufacturing, but I just felt that clothing were such a unique vehicle to express our own thoughts and opinions and values. And whether consciously or subconsciously. And so if you can buy something that's Canadian made, and wear it with pride, and someone says, that's a really nice shirt, where'd you get it? And then you can tell them all about it. Every time you buy something, you're voting with your wallet. And look, again, I get it's expensive, and I love my strategy, because me personally, I don't buy any article of clothing unless it's Canadian made, right? And I'm the worst person at like Christmas and birthday parties to families, because people like buy me gifts, they buy gifts for others. I'm like, where's that made? China? No, not good enough. And they're like, yes, we get it, Connor. It's not made in Canada. Like, geez. Get off your soapbox. But for me, what I've learned in the past couple of years is only supporting Canadian-made companies. I buy less, which is great, so I can save up my money. And because we live in a generation now, we don't get that satisfaction, the same, like the dopamine rush every time you get that gratification is less and less. So the pleasure of delayed gratification, I'm saving up for something. Maybe I'm waiting for it to go on sale and I'm saving up money and then you finally get it. You cherish it more. It's not like you have five black hoodies that you just don't care about. One gets a hold, who cares? All of a sudden, I'm with my clothes. I'm just like, this is my one favorite shirt. I love telling everyone about this shirt. I take care of it. I'm like sewing it back together. You know, before you get a hole in your shirt, toss it up. Let's get another one. Let's go buy another one. Now we have things that can last. I've saved up. I have a long list of things I'm like saving up for, or like birthday presents and all this thing. So one person can absolutely make a change. Absolutely make a difference.
Yeah, and if it's not going to start with you, then who is going to start with?
And I tell you, businesses will fall in line, right? Businesses follow consumers, they follow the money. It's up to consumers.
Vote with your wallet.
Yes, exactly. And if they stop buying the stuff that's made in China, they stop buying, they want to support more Canadian made, the businesses will follow. But it's up to us as consumers to vote and support organizations and companies that align with our personal values.
I love it, man. On that note, how do people find out more about you and Local Laundry?
If you want to hear more ramblings of a madman on all things Canadian made, you can follow me on my personal Instagram at Connor B. Curran on Instagram. But if you want to follow Local Laundry, I mean, we really love what we do. We'd love to hear from you, love your feedback, the good, the bad, the ugly, kind comments, rude remarks, whatever you need. Find us at locallaundry.ca. You can find us on Instagram at Local Laundry, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, our own podcast called Proudly Made in Canada. And yeah, feel free to fire us a direct message, email. My cell phone number's up on the website. Feel free to give me a call. Always happy to chat.
I love it, dude. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your wisdom.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Another amazing episode with Connor Curran. I really, really enjoyed this fantastic discussion with him. Not only did we get into sort of supporting local and that whole thing, but we spoke about the cost of not supporting your local businesses. Now, this applies to you whether you're in Canada or not in Canada. It doesn't really matter. But look, there's a cost to not supporting local. And it doesn't always appear on the surface. In fact, it rarely appears on the surface to what that cost is. It's not always monetary, but it may be social implications or environmental implications. There is a cost to not supporting your local business. I would highly recommend that you check out Connor's work. Highly recommend that you check out some of the work of your local businesses. Support local. It's a big deal. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends, family, colleagues. Talk about it on social. Tag us and let us know what you think. Does the local strategy work? Does it make sense? What do you think? If you enjoyed it as well, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends to subscribe and download wherever they get podcasts. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you. Have a great day.